Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Very, very special guest today.
I'm talking about
a two-time All-American, three-time All-Big Ten offensive lineman at OSU, the Remington Trophy winner, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year 2017, and then in 2018 on the All-Rookie Team. Billy Price, ladies and gentlemen.
First round draft pick.
Exactly. Here we go. Bringing him in. Billy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, welcome to the show. It's great to have
you. Yes, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we're so excited. Thank you for coming. I know that I appreciate having you here. I know the fans appreciate having you here. We're just very excited to have you on the show. And excited to see what you have in store for us this season. Yeah.
Yeah, Billy. So last year you made the move from center to guard, and guard is a position you played at Ohio State. And what is that like? Where are you right now in terms of your preparation? Do you favor left guard, right guard? What has the transition been like?
So the transition last year, got to find a place where you fit in, especially coming into training camp hurt. Got to play left guard and got a little bit more settled in at right guard towards the end of the year. But being able to have the flexibility to play all three interior positions, I know that's something that the Bengals actually absolutely appreciate and can be able to do it on a moment's notice.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And let me follow up with that. So you've probably heard the whole new day saying, and a lot of us have been excited now, not just, for last year, this year. I mean, last year obviously wasn't what, we would want necessarily, but it also led to the Burrow signing and all that. There seems to be a lot of excitement, and the players seem excited. They seem charged in the Bengals. What is it about Coach Zach? What is it that we're not seeing as fans that makes the players so excited? What's going on behind the scenes that's making the people so ready to play and ready to win?
Yeah, he's got Coach Taylor's got a youth energy behind him. He understands, the pop culture and understands, what's important to players. Last year I always tell people we almost had like a college-esque type offense. Again, we did a lot of motions, a lot of shifts, and a lot of those things actually help the players. And so when you're helping the players and we can try to perform better and we can execute better, it just makes us more comfortable out there. We had a couple hiccups last year, especially in the run game, especially, in the early part of the season. But as you saw after when we played the Rams over in London, things just took off. And, it's a lot of credit to the coaches. They made some changes, did some things, and things really took off. And it makes it exciting for the guys, especially in that organization, in the facility, that every day you go to work for somebody who's going to go out and help you and make sure that you guys are performing the best.
Yeah. I saw that. I saw the explosivity, the shall we say, viscosity. It was really exciting. May I follow that up with another question, which is that, obviously the head coach makes a big difference on the team, but the position coach is someone that you work directly with. Now, what's different about Coach Turner's approach than the other coaches you've had in the past?
Mm-hmm. Coach Turner, a guy, he's got a military background. He's an accountability guy. You got a lot of respect for him, and I think every coach has got their quirk that's better about them compared to other guys. And so you can't say that one's better than the other. No. I just know that the offensive staff worked collectively as a whole very, very well together. And again, as I said, after we played the Rams, the run game just took off. And that's something, again, as an offensive lineman, you love to see that. Putting 100-plus rushing yards on an NFL defense is something that's not very – it's not easy. We play the Baltimore Ravens and put 100 yards on them. It was something that was we took a lot of pride in that. And, those are the changes that Coach Taylor and Coach Turner made for us. And we went out and executed.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was exciting. And I think we're going to see much more of that this year, personally.
Yeah, but another thing to be excited about, no doubt, is the quarterback change. You know, Andy Dalton was a great quarterback in his own right. But what is it like going from that? Because, you know, Andy Dalton, in terms of blocking, so Andy Dalton got the ball out really quickly, right? I mean, so he avoided sacks and avoided a lot of pressures by getting the ball out so quick. But and Burrow likes to go off script a lot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he can avoid a lot of the sacks or a lot of the problems when plays break down because of his ability to create and improvise. Well, how are you? How is that? How does that affect your preparation? Or how are you excited about, you know, blocking for a different kind of quarterback?
I mean, I think it gives the offensive line, you know, a guy's going to be able to take off and make those downfield plays when things get bad. And I think you saw that with Joe many, many times playing for LSU. You know, playing against Georgia, there's a couple clips again. He's just launching the ball 60 yards downfield. Guys are open, making touchdowns and whatnot. But I think that him avoiding the pressure, I think he'll get, you know, he will learn what the AFC North is about, and he's going to do a great job avoiding and making sure that we're getting positive yards and avoiding those sacks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so exciting. You got five Buckeyes on the team. I know you practiced with Burrow at Ohio State. Sam Hubbard is good friends with Joe. Mm-hmm. And tell me, I mean, like, do you guys have a relationship yet? Is there a friendship? Is there a kindred spirit ship already on the team that's happening? I know that the COVID lockdown might have affected that. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, and again, it's just like meeting old friends again, man. You know, I've practiced with all the Buckeyes that are on our team now. Playing with Mike Jordan, Von Bell, Sam Hubbard, now Joe. These guys, it's great. It's phenomenal to be able to see these guys and be able to continue that relationship again. Because I know, you know, the time that, you know, I'm blocking for Joe, it's going to be quick and easy because I know how Joe plays as a quarterback.
That's right.
You know, as he's developed as his time at LSU, it's going to be, you know, he might be a little bit more elusive, but, you know, you still know Joe's got that swagger back there that he's going to be able to make plays for us. He's got that leadership. He walks into the huddle, demands that attention, demands that respect, and that's something you tip your hat off to as a guy who's gone through some things, been through the experiences and whatnot. So you're very comfortable with the guys that are around you.
Yeah.
And Billy, I mean, you talked about the injuries, and I know that has been something. You had the torn biceps, I think, with the bench press, the draft process.
Yeah, tore my pec. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, but yeah. And then you had the foot injury your rookie year, and the plantar fasciitis, and then early last year, and the back injury. Where are you in terms of health and nutrition and those kind of things? Yeah.
Yep. So the greatest thing I did this past offseason was come down to Dallas, Texas, and get down with Duke Mannyweather, an offensive line guru, and somebody who really took me from, you know, I went down at the end of January and really was able to kind of get a full evaluation of me. Within a week and a half, my back was fixed. It actually ended up being a little bit of a hip tightness. And then with the plantar fasciitis, we did some things this offseason, and we're continuing to do these things. It's just preventative maintenance. You know, the number one thing I told myself, you know, evaluating last year's, don't come to training camp hurt. I tore my plantar fascia 2 weeks before training camp, running, doing some conditioning stuff. And in the NFL, you know, your shot is only so minimal, so minimal. Yeah. And so coming into training camp hurt, you know, and then didn't come back for another 7 days after that, you know, you're already behind the eight ball as guys have gotten a continuity and guys have gotten together and started to build that chemistry in the offensive line. Everything else is doing good. No back issues, no hip issues. My feet are fantastic. You know, my mental health and everything is doing fantastic as well. You know, I'm in a place that I understand that I got to make sure I come prepared for any position. I come prepared with a chip on my shoulder and to make sure that I'm going to go put my best foot forward. Because, again, I was a first round pick in 2018, and that's something that I don't take lightly at all.
Right.
Yeah.
You're young, and recovery for you is not really going to be a big deal because you're young and healthy, and that's great. And you should maybe also try some oils like avocado oils and turmeric and other things. I can tweet this out to people so they know. There's all kinds of things I do. My regime in the morning, which is a lot of vegetable based omega 3 acids.
I'm having a hard time hearing, my man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't hear Dr. Haji.
It's probably because he was spitting out nonsense.
Yeah,
there's a lot of nonsense.
It's okay.
It's just a lot of blabber in it.
Exactly. Please disregard all of that.
That's fine. Actually, you guys don't need to use my magic. That's okay.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
We're going to bring in the opposite of nonsense, and that is Coach Matt Menich, who is an expert on everything football. He's a writer at Cincy Jungle, and he is very, very high on you and very much looking forward to seeing what you can do next year after a very positive conclusion to your last season. Coach Menich.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Very good.
Good. Yeah, Billy, we've talked about it a little bit here. It's been mentioned a little bit about your versatility. And I think a lot of people don't realize that an NFL team is generally going into a week with 8, maybe 9 offensive linemen active. So that is something that's really important. And even when you're in a starting role at one position, you could shift into another one during the game just because something happens. So you've mentioned it a couple times, but how do you prepare not only going into the season, but going into a week when you might be expecting to start at left guard, maybe you start at left guard, but one play into the game, you know, something happens, you know, and all of a sudden you're snapping. How do you prepare to, you know, for multiple positions like that?
And I think the first thing is I don't think that people truly understand how difficult that really is. I know Cody Whitehair spoke about it a couple years ago. It was like all of a sudden you go from playing center from when he was playing with Chicago to going to play left guard, and he used the analogy. It's like wiping your rear end with your opposite hand. And how difficult something like that is. And some people, it's, oh, you know, it's just, it's, you know, your left hand to right hand and you're playing guard. It's no big deal. It's a substantial difference, and especially the timing and then the continuity and chemistry you have with that tackle, the tackle that's next to you. So going into that preparation, I think the biggest aspect, again, as you alluded to, you have 8 guys active. You have to have some sort of rep with those guys during the week. And that was something during the week, you know, during the week, Mike Jordan and John Miller are starting guards of this. They're healthy this week. Just say, a couple reps in each period, I would go and get the last 2 reps at a left guard or a right guard or even at center. And then on game day, same thing as our pre-practice or pre-game warm-up. The one offense, one defense always gets 4 or 5 plays, and I would take a snap at every single position just to get your feet wet, get your body moving, just to get comfortable back in that position and that stance. But it's not easy. And you have to understand the playbook and offense at every single dimension. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. I can't go and play tackle being 6'3", 6'4". I have to understand it from all 3 interior positions, thankfully, because if we had to go to tackle, you know, the offenses in the NFL playing tackle, it's a whole nother world out there.
So, you know, you talk about how difficult that is. I think you played both left and right guard at Ohio State before moving to center, right?
Yes, I played 2 years at left guard, our national championship run, and then in 15 and then 16, I played right guard, and then 17, I played center. So I had experience at all 3. I am right-handed, so I'm a lot more comfortable playing right guard. Mm-hmm. When we played the Patriots this year, and John Miller got dinged. Had to go in, and it was a lot more comfortable than going in to play left guard when I had to go thrown in there against San Francisco at the end there when Mike Jordan got his knee dinged up.
It's funny you mentioned that because, you know, you played left guard the majority of the season. And then at the end of the year, when you came in and played right guard against the Dolphins, I really felt like that was your best game. I have no idea what Coach Turner thought of it, especially in the run game. I thought you were getting some great movement in that game. There was one play in the first half where you had a reach block on a zero technique nose tackle, and it looked effortless. So, would you say that you are more comfortable in the right guard position then?
Yeah, I would say that. But again, in the NFL, you can't become comfortable and locked in at one spot. You know, in my situation, the Miami game though, it was starting to get some continuity, and especially with Bobby Hart. Somebody that I hadn't played a lot of snaps with during the season, but it just made it was easier. The run mechanics and some of the fundamentals that you do in the run game were just a lot more effortless, I should say. The reach block that you're talking about, you know, and I have a great relationship with Trey Hopkins, and it's just smooth like butter, especially that zero reach block. You know, Trey does a great job turning the shoulders. I get a good first, second step, And then all of a sudden you lock it in, and Joe goes and makes us look great. So it's just, it's all about the continuity and the relationships and the chemistry that you have in that offensive line room. And that starts even right now during this virtual period. I mean, I've talked to Trey weekly, and it was just to make sure you continue to build that and continue to work together in whatever the capacity that might be.
So Trey's kind of your anchor. You always know how you're going to interact with him, you know, regardless of which guard spot you're coming in at.
Yeah, and it was very easy. And, you know, he and I have, like I said, the great relationship that there was a lot of, you know, playing center together. Hey, Bill, what do you think about this? Or, you know, I would track the packages and the different defensive personnels. Or, you know, I would be, you know, hey, you know, pay attention to this. Hey, watch this guy, you know, catch tendencies in film study. Sending clips to one another during the week. And it's just, it makes it very, very easy and effortless. Especially, what, like you said, you know how Trey's going to react. I know how, you know, Jonah Williams is going to react this year. And so those are some of the things that make it easier in the grand scheme.
So you playing center, like, you kind of understand where Trey is coming from. So that kind of makes that an even better relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the beautiful thing about it is too, and we've had a conversation this offseason, I might not see something the same way he does, but, you know, he might not see it the way I do. But the beautiful thing is, no matter what, we still got to get it blocked. So, yeah. You know, and that's the thing you get with the offensive coaches during the week, especially during, like, for instance, like on pass protection days. And again, we meet with the quarterbacks, you know, the coaches might completely see it different than Trey and I do, but it's a conversation. All right, hey, how are we going to assess this? How are we going to block this? All right, if this is a situation, this is how we're going to attack it. If this is this personnel, this down a distance, et cetera, this is what we're doing. And so that's just, it makes it great. You know, communication is the biggest aspect in all of that, though.
So, obviously, you've got a relationship with Trey. You know Trey. You've played with a lot of these guys. But you've got Xavier Suofilo coming in. You've got a rookie coming in, Hakeem Adeniji. In this world that we're living in right now, where this is the only kind of communication, you know, interaction you have with people in general, have you had a chance to build a relationship with some of the new guys in the O-line?
Yeah, and it's actually, ironically, I know both of them. So I know Xavier Suofilo. I did my combine training and a little bit of training with offensive line performance out there in Arizona with Charles Bentley, and Xavier is one of his clients. So I knew Xavier from training. And then actually Hakeem Adeniji is actually down here in Dallas, Texas with me with Duke. So I was working out with him last week. So I know Hakeem. Yeah, he's a smart one. I can tell you that. He's going to be a great addition to the line. You know, tall, slender kind of guy again, but he's got that nasty in him. He's a strong kid, very smart kid. So, like I said, a great addition to the room.
Yeah, I know some people were a little disappointed they waited so long in the draft to add another offensive lineman. But, I mean, the guy they got, I wouldn't have batted an eye at taking him several rounds earlier. So, yeah, that was definitely a great addition there.
Yeah, he's going to be good. And, again, the draft, everybody's got their opinions on things. I know our draft staff and those guys are all – they had a plan, so I know. We had some great additions all the way from, you know, first round all the way down to the guys that we are undrafted free agents. So it's going to be a great competition this upcoming fall. And I know a lot of guys are going to fit in, and it's going to be some good competition.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing it.
We really are.
We had Marissa on, and, you know, I agree with her, actually. You know, a lot of people worry about the offensive line because of the past, but the second half of last year showed a lot of promise, and we found players in maybe unconventional ways for some teams, but not for the Bengals. The Bengals have turned late-round picks and these type of things into really great, linemen. And, you know, they picked up Fred Johnson, I think, right, last year. And, I mean, it's like – It's mostly about the cohesion with offensive line, am I right? Like, if the pieces fit, if the guys have that chemistry, it doesn't really matter if the guy you drafted was where he was in the draft or really expensive free agent. You just kind of want to get that culture. Am I correct?
Yeah,
absolutely. You think about the guys in the playoffs, and every single one of those playoff teams, their offensive lines, the continuity and the chemistry, they're very, very close. You see guys, you know, Dallas offensive line trains together all offseason. The Saints offensive line is always so damn good. And it comes down to that. And, you know, I know that's what our guys, Coach Taylor talked about drafting guys and signing guys, you know, leaders in their locker room, guys who were, you know, accountable, you know, huge, you know, that's a huge, huge aspect for Coach Taylor going into this year.
Yeah.
Quick follow-up question, Billy. I don't know if you can hear me this time, but do you have a role model, someone that you like, want to be like, another offensive lineman of the past, someone that you model your playing style and who you are and what you want to be after?
Yeah, I think I started probably watching Travis Frederick from the Cowboys. Probably going into my senior year. Just somebody, I mean, he knows what's going on at all times, and he is a tenacious blocker. Big Ten guy, went to Wisconsin. I mean, a true anchor. When I was at Ohio State, you know, Coach Meyer always talked about the center being the apex of the offensive line, of the offense, the guy who's the leader, guy who's going out there and, you know, leading the charge, making sure everybody's ready to go. And that's something that I took into consideration, and something that was very near and dear to me at Ohio State. You got to be the apex. You got to be the anchor. And I know Travis, through his play, has done an absolutely fantastic job, and, you know, somebody who should be considered for the Hall of Fame for sure.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to say, after talking to Mr. Price, I'm pumped. I am pumped about this year. I am pumped about the Bengals. I am pumped about the O-line. I think the haters out there who doubt this team got to not talk.
Yeah. I mean, we're really mostly talking about the Steelers fans.
You got Steelers fans. You got your Ravens fans. You got your certain people on ESPN and elsewhere who don't believe in the Bengals. I believe in this team, and I think this is going to be a great year, including the O-line.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Billy, the running backs – I mean, you look at the talents at the position of the running. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. I mean, other teams would be lucky to have half of the running backs that we have, you know? Go ahead, please.
I would say, I mean, Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard, Trevion Henderson, Trevion Williams back there, Rodney Anderson. Again, Rodney, before he got hurt during preseason, I mean, making cuts, you know, taking guys on the second level, not afraid of contact. Again, as you said, you got a stable running backs of four guys, and then we just signed a kid out of Florida State, Jaquiel Patrick. I mean, who else across the league's got that kind of stable back there? Who got the horses like we got back there?
And what is it like blocking for those guys? What's the difference between their? Because I know that, you know, you have the Geo type, you know, kind of the smaller, kind of feisty guy with a good pass blocking. I think Trevion also has that kind of similar style, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have Mixon, who's just like a big guy, but he runs like a smaller guy. What's the difference in terms of the blocking for them?
I guess the biggest and the best thing about all four of them is they have the communication with the offensive line. Like, if we see a certain look and, you know, we're going to attack a guy, and this is what but we can communicate, and this is what they expect from us. And that's something that Joe does a great job, and he has conversations with Bobby, Trey, all these guys during the week. And, you know, hey, you know, if you're going to set the guy up this way, I'm going to do this, and then, you know, catch a guy. And all of a sudden, those are when you see those 10-plus yard runs. You know, I know the statistics just came out this past week from the NFL about guys who had 10-plus yard runs, and Joe Mixon was, if not first, second. And, again, that's a guy that's why. You have that communication. You have that that accountability, and somebody who takes pride in his job, and he's got such a passion for football. I mean, he hates losing. I can't say we went, 0-9 at first or whatever. We lost a stretch of games at first and pissed off after every single game. And he's the first guy to talk about things, first guy, you know, checking people to make sure that people are accountable. And that's my guy. That's the leader in the locker room. That's my guy.
Yeah. Great Twitter account, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's, and a really, really good Madden player, too.
I know. Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
So we have some questions from Reddit, real quick. I mean, if you want, do you have time, Billy? A little more time.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the questions?
Yeah. So this one comes from Hoopla Estank, and it says, "What goals have you set for yourself? What steps have you taken to achieve those goals? Thank you for signing my hat. You are a cool dude. I see you at work all the time."
Yeah. So again, for me, it's, you know, start continuing to crack that, get back into that starting lineup. I know there's a lot of competition, a lot of meat on the bone there, guard for us. And it's everything that I've done in Dallas. It's the preventative maintenance, making sure that my feet, my joints, ankles, shoulders, back, everything is healthy for when we come up to this fall. And again, it starts at training camp. Show up to training camp at weight, healthy, ready to rock, and go kill the conditioning test, and let the rest just fall where it should be. Because I know the kind of football player that I am. and we're going to continue to go make strides this year and make sure that we're ready to rock.
Great. And that Pirates game is the user. He doesn't have a question. He just says, tell him I like his dog.
I say I got two dogs. I have I got Cora and Colby. They're two silver labs. Cora is going to be – she just turned two. And then Colby is another – he's my puppy. He just turned one, but he's like a 97-pound puppy. So he's a big boy. But he's
a lion of puppies.
My wife's snuggle buddy. Yeah, great tackle.
That's cute.
Yeah, and so Chet Knox, this user, asked you, have you ever threw a puppet in the trash?
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, I throw a puppet in the trash?
Yeah.
No. Puppets they stay on the shelf or when being used.
See? Billy, we get a lot of hate out there because we're puppets. Can you believe that?
I didn't even want to show you some of the stuff. People have used very vulgar language. But, Ken Anderson tweeted about us after he's on the show. He said it was his bucket list to be on the show hosted by puppets. So that's all that matters to us.
Yeah. Hey, check the box off for Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I think we asked you all our questions. Is there
Very generous with your time.
Anything else you want to share with us, Billy?
No, we're looking forward to the season. Everybody's got to be safe these days right now, especially with COVID going on. You got to be safe. Again, for us to have a season, everybody's got to try to continue to wear masks, continue to contain this virus, wash your hands, take care of your family, take care of your loved ones, your elderly, and make sure just help your neighbors too. I think with this COVID stuff, again, it might be a discomfort for 10 minutes to go into a store with a mask on, but for 10 minutes, you're going to impact a lot of other lives. And I think that's really important for us and the NFL and every other sport that is coming up here. You got to take care of yourselves, folks.
Yeah, wear your mask. We really want to see the Bengals this year. Please wear your masks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
wear your mask.
Yeah. So, Coach Manich, any final questions?
Yeah, I do have one. You mentioned Joe Mixon and his leadership. I just wondered, who are the leaders on the offensive line specifically?
I would say, Bobby.
Right, I'm putting you a little bit on the spot there. Sorry about that. But.
Yeah, I would say no, it's fine. No, it's just we had so much fluidity last year, so many different starting lineups. But Bobby was one of the guys who really did. I mean, he's a guy who holds people accountable. You talked about that Miami game, for instance, and all week again, every stretch block that we did in practice. He's always on me. Hey, backside hand, drive the knee through the crotch. Different coaching cues that were really helpful for me. And that's what you see during the week, or that's what you see on that game. I had a lot of really good blocks, and against good defensive linemen out there. I mean, this is the NFL. There's no slouchers out there. So, I do tip my hat off to him again, Trey Hopkins again. He developed into a role last year. Again, he starting center, and just really again midway through the season, he was like, yo, this is my line. This is my team. This is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. And you got to give your hat off to him again. The accountability, the leadership, and as I alluded to, being the apex.
Great.
Awesome.
I just
really appreciate Billy coming on the show and pumping us all up, because this is going to be. I mean, this is so exciting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great year, man. It's going to be an absolute great year. And if you guys can feel the energy off of me, you should see Coach Taylor during some of our Zoom meetings during the virtual offseason period.
That's awesome.
Just ready to go, chomping at the bit. And again, it's gonna be a fun year for us.
He is younger than my oldest stepson. He's so young.
Wow.
Yeah.
He is young. He is very young.
That is crazy. Yeah. Well, Billy, thank you for coming on the show. I don't know if the show is really, really taking off. We've had a lot of Bengals. I mean, if you have other Bengals friends, I assume you do, you can tell them to come on the show. We'd be happy to have them.
Definitely.
We have recently been expanding the show, and we have getting a lot of people who are being patronizing toward us on patreon.com. We have five people like that so far, and we also have people can join the channel and become members. So it's just people are just loving the show, and you coming on just shows how important it is. So we really appreciate that.
Good day.
No problem. Tag me on Twitter, tag me on Instagram. I'll make sure we share it out and continue to grow the show.
Thank you. So remember, everybody, subscribe to the channel too.
Please.
And write comments about how much you love the show, because we get a lot of hate.
And Billy, how much you love Billy. Yeah.
And how much you love me and how much you love the puppets.
And how much you love Billy Price?
Yeah. All right. Well, for Billy Price and Coach Matt Munich and Dr. Roji Director Kismoji, I'm Danny McDoug. We will see you next time. So long, SVT.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.